I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of...
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Monday, January 15th, 2024 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And it's interesting. This is Monday, so we'll do another installment of Mondays with Mitzi. That'll be fun. My mom, Mitzi. And it's also the Ides of January. Or something like that. So we'll talk about what else is going on today. And maybe that'll factor into the conversation. Things are busy in the modern era. Busier than perhaps they've ever been, I would say. And what impact does that have on us? So before we get started... a couple of things. Obviously, we have the quilt raffle happening, and you can jump on the website and check that out. RBN's New Year Rebel Madman Rabble Razor. That's fabulous. I'll come back to that. Let's put a pin in that for a second. We are at the end of the revived second annual John Stadmiller book drive. And this week's book, One Nation Under Israel by Andrew Hurley. So donations of $100 or more get you a chance to win this fabulous book. And you can, as the expression goes, you can get two birds with one stone. Donate $250 or more to enter both the book drive and the quilt fundraiser. So that's fun. But the most important part, obviously, is supporting the network. So thank you to all who do that. And continue to do that. Obviously, this network is listener supported, and I like to joke. Today is actually the day to joke. Speaking of things that make today significant, on this day in 1936, for example, Henry Ford You may have heard of him, the owner of the Ford Motor Company, established the Ford Foundation, a nonprofit group. And as the story goes, part of the intention of setting up the Ford Foundation was to ensure that his family was able to take over the family fortune after he passed away. However, this foundation created by Ford also had reached out in many ways to the community. For instance, the Ford Foundation played a part in promoting population control and famine prevention. It just sort of got bent into the same old Cecil Rhodes initiative or agenda. And there's more, but the point here, obviously, is that this network, Republic Broadcasting Network, will likely never be the recipient of a Ford Foundation grant or Rockefeller Foundation or, you know, Knight, MacArthur, et cetera, et cetera. Not part of that initiative, kind of anti that initiative. So, fun fact. On this day in 1936. So here we are, a couple of announcements. Thank you to those who support the network. Do we know who won last week's book, America's God and Country? I don't know yet. I'll tell you as soon as I know. I think I'm about to know. Oh, right on. Kim, I think she's from Texas, right? Congratulations, Kim. Thank you for supporting the network. I think she's a Texan. So, let's get started, shall we? Let's dive in and bring on Mitzi. We'll do Monday with Mitzi. Good morning, Mitzi.
Good morning, Christopher. So happy to be here with you this morning.
Yeah. How the hell are you?
I'm cold, but I'm good. I'm good. It's chilly, but it's beautiful out, and just grateful that I'm here to talk to you one more day.
Yeah. It is chilly where I am, too. It's chilly at the studio, the network. Apparently, it's about 19 degrees there, and it's a balmy, you know, depending on where you look, it's a balmy minus 27 where I am, so that's almost 50 degrees different.
Woohoo!
Yeah. What's the temperature where you are?
The temperature where I am is about 5 below zero right now.
That's chilly.
It's chilly. It's chilly for here. And it just makes me count my blessings because I'm in a warm place and, you know, very, very, very grateful.
When it starts to go below zero Fahrenheit, it you know, it all just sort of, I don't know. There's a point, I think, where measurement is sort of inconsequential. It starts to feel like it's approaching, you know, you feel like you should be measuring in Kelvin and it's approaching absolute zero or something.
Yeah. And update. We're having a heat wave. We've gone up to -3 degrees below.
Wow. That's exciting.
I know. It's going to be a whopping 15 degrees above zero here today.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, and you still see people wandering around in shorts and t-shirts and tennis shoes and no gloves and, you know, so they must know something I don't.
Yeah, well, something.
Something.
That's interesting. It's supposed to get up to, I think, almost zero here today, maybe zero, possibly. So that's
woo-hoo.
Fun. Yeah.
And how cold is it up on your ski mountain?
I don't know, but probably colder.
Well, you know, the one thing I can say that gives me joy, well, there's lots of things that give me joy, but it is seeing the sky get lighter noticeably every morning and stay lighter a little bit later every afternoon. And that makes me so happy because I know that it's temporary. We'll be going through another season here. And I think, you know, for people that live in a climate that never changes, that can be beautiful. But going through the seasons is, you know, it's I think it's a real representative of life.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, in my last home, I had a I had a painting commissioned on my wall that had the Four Seasons, and I had a lot of people through my house because I had my business there. And there was, you know, I don't think anybody failed to comment on that artwork, because, you know, there's just something to be said about being where there are definite seasons of life.
Yeah. Well, that sort of touches on a point that I would like to maybe talk about. Before I do, though, I want to go back to the cold thing real quick and tell a Mark Twain story. Do you mind?
Yay!
I figured you wouldn't mind.
I love Mark Twain.
So as the story goes, and, you know, people can find this, there is a book, or there is a group, excuse me, on Facebook, The American West, Our Heritage, and someone named Joan Godsey posted this a few days ago there. So as the story goes, on January 8, 1862, Mark Twain left for Carson City, Nevada, a trip which, after much varnishing, became lost in snow, quote unquote, a tale of disaster and near death incorporated into Roughing It, which was published in 1872. Twain was still young Sam Clemens at this point, a 26-year-old who had gone west in the grip of gold fever and had quickly grown tired of his pick and shovel. The trip from Unionville to Carson City was to initiate a new plan. Instead of actually mining for gold, Clemens and his cronies would go into real estate, buying and selling claims for other gullibles. Between the travelers and the implementation of this new get-rich scheme lay a series of disasters, a flood, a fight, and then with night closed upon them like a cellar door, a blinding knee-deep snowstorm. That would just be called a regular day in Montana, I guess, but anyway. When the horses bolted and the last life-giving match fizzled out, the men repented their most damning sins, whiskey, tobacco, and cards, and resigned to meet their maker. And here's a quote from the story. We put our arms about each other's necks and awaited the warning drowsiness that precedes death by freezing. It came stealing over us presently, and then we bade each other a last farewell. A delicious dreaminess wrought its web about my yielding senses while the snowflakes wove a winding sheet about my conquered body. Oblivion came. The battle of life was done. Then the storm broke, and the men were soon settled in a comfortable inn. It was only 15 paces away all the time, where they drank, smoked, and played cards until they felt fully restored. The end.
I love that. What a metaphor for life. That was fabulous.
Uh-huh. Pretty fun.
Yeah, pretty fun. Pretty fun.
So, I don't know how soon we want to get into this. I mean, obviously, today is, happy civil rights / Martin Luther King Day to everyone, which is interesting. You know, usually when I talk about Martin Luther King Day, it's in reflection of the irony that it's an established fact that significant elements of the government were involved in his assassination. It was not just a random occurrence. William Pepper, for example, has talked about the incredible saga of making sure that James Earl Ray escaped and was basically traveling everywhere all over the North American continent for about a year, sort of being handled and watched to make sure that he made it to the right place at the right time. So anyway, I don't know that we want to get into that. That's not really a Mondays with Mitzi kind of thing. It's more of the usual Road Warrior Radio stuff, but it's interesting. And I think this sort of touches on the stuff that I do want to talk about. You know, in 1984, George Orwell, which wasn't his name, which is interesting. We remember him as George Orwell. It was Eric Arthur Blair who wrote that. I think it's doublethink is entertaining two competing thoughts at the same time and believing both of them is how that goes. But it's interesting that, you know, that's sort of, I think that sort of typifies American life. And you, these days anyway, you mentioned in things that maybe we would talk about how challenging change is for you as a teenager, the mind playing tricks on the teenager. But I don't think it's just you. I think, you know, this is part of how our society operates. Like I said, you know, if I can just oversimplify for a minute, the elements responsible for assassinating Martin Luther King Jr. are also responsible for the creation of Martin Luther King Day. That's, I think, an incredible irony. So
it certainly is.
You know, what am I trying to say? Well, I don't think it's just you. I mention George Santayana all the time, his quote from The Life of Reason, where he said, "Progress, far from consisting in change, depends on retentiveness." And so how much retentiveness do we have in today's American society? And he went on and said, "When change is absolute, there remains no being to improve, and no direction is set for possible improvement. And when experience is not retained, as among savages, infancy is perpetual. Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it." And so it's just interesting to me, you know, that makes me think of some things like the young 20-something who wants to play video games on the couch in their parents' basement because change is absolute in this society. When we look around, we're bombarded by things that we're told are new. We've had, you know, the era of new and improved stuff, or, you know, new scientific discoveries, or new political developments. And we're always sort of under the impression that there's going to be some new discovery here or there. And so change is absolute. Therefore, there remains no being to improve and no direction is set for possible improvement. And I think maybe the same kind of thing happens that could describe what you're talking about, how challenging change is and how the mind plays tricks. I think we've seen, you know, there's a sort of cliche that floats around about when people start to, you know, get older, there's a point where they seem to regress to children. Is it because there's so much, you know, with each successive generation, change seems to be accelerating and therefore it's overwhelming and a person maybe shuts down at a certain point?
Well, that's interesting. It is overwhelming. That's a very, very good way to put it. And, you know, and yet you gotta go for the challenge. So apparently we'll talk about it in a minute.
Apparently we will. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
So we're on the other side of the break, and now we can discuss.
Yeah, it was probably nice to have that moment to think, because it is overwhelming. And mm-hmm. I think what the problem for me, and I can't speak, of course, for anybody else, but, you know, there are so many things that are changing so rapidly. Mm-hmm. And I think change is hard for people of all ages. But my gosh, personal products, business things, technology. There's nothing that you can look at that you think you got it figured out, and then it's all new and improved, and mm-hmm. you can't get that thing, or, you know, do it the way that you did it before. It's frightening. You know,
yeah.
it's really interesting, and I kind of think it's part of the big picture too, but it's, you know, so I think it's easy for a lot of people just to recede into their cocoon and say, heck with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is why I say, you know, you look at, you know, when people start getting on in years and it seems like they're sort of letting go, in a manner of speaking. Maybe it's that grip on trying to hold on in opposition or resistance to all of that change, because I really do think that's a significant issue. And we live in a society that's been arranged to facilitate that kind of momentum toward change. And there are reasons for that. Won't get into that now probably, but you know, you read books like Alvin Toffler's Future Shock, for example, and it's very clear, especially looking back now, 50 plus years later, that direction, that momentum, none of it was accidental or coincidental. It was very intentional. And so, you know, I mean, you can see it in little things. The appeal of small towns, I think, is in some sense less change. You know your neighbors. People usually buy things and hold on to them. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, in Montana, for example, with things like yard sales, it's still not uncommon to go to yard sales in the summertime in Montana and see things, you know, basically, like if it's an estate sale kind of a thing or something, you could see someone's life on display. And there are things there that they've had for 40 or 50 years. And it worked just fine, didn't need a new one. And that's retention versus, you know, as Santayana puts it, you know, it's retention versus change.
Yes, yes. You know, and there's so many layers to it. I think, you know, it's hard to embrace new things. And I mean, I get really jaded about new things because a lot of times I believe in my own mind that it's not better. It's just another way to, you know, to get you to consume and purchase. And so, and especially, you know, the way that the social media plays into it, and how I still work and, you know, in the service industry, and can't believe how often people come in and believe something that they're purchasing just because somebody told them to do it on TikTok or something. And so it's boggling to the mind. But on the other hand, you know, as a teenager, if we don't fight back and figure out ways to keep current or get in front of it, basically, you know, that's when we start to get old. I mean, age is just a number, and I fight it every day because I want to find my place in the sun, so to speak. And you don't, it's not so important to be, you know, in style and with it as much as it is to keep looking for your real true self. And so, you know, life is just a roller coaster ride, and you think you get on top of the crest, and you think you got it figured out, and then all of a sudden you're down in the valley again. And I think it's pretty interesting, you know. Like, who is it that said things are never as good as they seem or as bad as they seem? I think that gets a lot clearer as we get a little bit older.
Yeah. But there is the influence. And again, I think in the smaller places, there is a resistance or an opposition sort of naturally inherent. In the smaller places where people know each other, and there's a sort of, there's a guard against nonsense. Everybody knows each other, and for some reason, they're more susceptible to nonsense in larger places. Speaking of 1984, Blair Orwell also wrote, "Power is in tearing human minds to pieces and putting them together again in new shapes of your own choosing." And so that's kind of what I'm talking about, where there's this, I mean, we don't really talk about it that way, but there, oh, I guess we're headed into a break. Stick around. I'll be right back.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man, still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up, and long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance, he's going for speed. She's all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance.
Welcome back. Without politicizing the conversation, let me just say, you know, things have sort of gone off the rails with this stuff that we're talking about. You know, the challenges of change, the tricks that the mind plays, which I think are, those two are related, that you mentioned. And I don't think it's just for teenagers. I think most of us are battling with this, but I think if we can be honest about the overwhelming volume of change, then maybe it's helpful to sort of forestall the impacts of that at least a little. There's also the language stuff now, you know, which is what I meant by not politicizing. But, you know, I mean, things like the pronouns. Now, all of a sudden, it's offensive to use a pronoun, or at least we're told. You know, I don't know how much people have actually dealt with that. But when you hear something like that, I think that plays tricks on your mind. You know, where do I encounter the people who think that pronouns are suddenly offensive? So that's difficult, you know, in terms of change and mind trickery. But, you know, one of the other examples that I was going to mention that I'll get back to here real fast, and then, you know, tell me what you think about this. These days, in this modern era, shall we say, there are many more events that we make note of than we see in history past. You know, if we go back in the modern era, on any given day, over the last 100 years, maybe 200, maybe 300 years, there are numerous events that we mark. But as we go back further in history, there are a few, sometimes none. Mm-hmm. Is that just because we always remember things closer to our own lifetime, or is it because there's more of that change that you're talking about? I would argue it's probably the latter.
Well, that absolutely. I mean, you know, and everything has to do with accessibility. And in bygone days, you would have to travel a lot of times a great distance for, you know, whatever it might be, like a lecture or a show or whatever. Well, now, you know, everything is like instantly accessible. And so all of a sudden, you know, it's coming at you from every different direction. And, you know, I just want to say, I also think that for me, you know, and I don't know about people my age, but for me, you know, I remember with my parents' generation and my grandparents' generation, that there was a level of respect and attention that came just because you were older and you had lived longer and experienced more things. And now, you know, honestly, even people of my grandchildren's generation, you know, they discredit you so quickly in that, well, no, that couldn't be right. And so I think that really adds to the difficult transition to change too. I mean, it's pretty daunting.
Absolutely. And you know, that concept is biblical, among other things. Proverbs 16:31, a gray head is a crown of glory. It is found in the way of righteousness. So basically, you know, a life lived that long, eventually you settle down, you sort of curate the good things, and you become kind of the sage of wisdom based on experience. And that's something that should be coveted in a sense, and we should appreciate that. The fact that the person, you know, maybe we're talking about things, speaking of past events, and here's a person that can tell us about that. This person was there. That person was there. And so there are things that we can probably learn and glean that we might not otherwise get. That used to be something that we appreciated very much in the society. And so it has to be confusing in a society that has flipped that. And now, like you said, not only do we not celebrate it, I mean, the way that I'm thinking of it, we don't celebrate it. There's sort of a disdain for it. You don't know, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. because of the change that is constant.
Yes.
That's the perception. You don't know, Grandma, you don't know. Actually, Junior Asparagus, and it, you know, it has to be frustrating. I mean, we've talked, for example, about the industry that you've spent about 50 years in, the hair industry, and the fact that, I mean, the changes from when you went through, you know, a young whippersnapper coming up now, going through, let's say, cosmetology school or whatever, they don't seem to be learning much. But they think that they know stuff, and you know, they know how to do a blowout, whatever that is. That sounds like someone had an accident to me. I don't understand the concept of a blowout. But you know, I mean, you've talked about when you went through cosmetology school, you guys had to do many perms, for example, and today to graduate they only have to do one?
Two, I think.
Okay. So,
but I don't know for sure.
That's, you know, and you can see
a lot less anyway.
Yeah. You see lots of, speaking of TikTok, there are countless videos of someone's perm went horribly wrong. And who knows if that's any indication of a volume of those kinds of things, but I dare say 50 years ago you probably would have seen fewer of those kinds of things.
Uh-huh.
I think the likelihood of those things happening is greater now because A, there isn't a sobriety of mind about the chemicals that are being applied, and B, there's no training, or there's a significant lack of training with those things, and so I wouldn't be surprised if bad things happen.
Well, exactly. But on the other hand, you know, there's such a, I don't know, there's such a underlying current of I guess false confidence that comes into play, that, you know, if you don't fit into the way that the, you know, the soup is being served, I guess. You know, you're just discredited. You know, you're old and you should be put out to pasture and you don't really know anything. And I mean, you know, trying to get that credibility for what you do know, and then your confidence gets shaken, and it's a very interesting dynamic. Like I said, it's like being on a roller coaster. It's pretty interesting. Some days you get up and you think you're just like, you know, everything. And then some days you get up and you think you really need to retire. And mm-hmm. it's very, very interesting. And I know it's part of the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
Did any of that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, again, I keep thinking of 1984, perhaps a lunatic was simply a minority of one. Or being in a minority, even in a minority of one, did not make you mad. There was truth and there was untruth. And if you clung to the truth, even against the whole world, you were not mad. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, it's a wild and dystopic ride.
That's the rumor. Yeah.
I know.
Sure.
Anyway, but I think overall, just, you know, being in that mix and, you know, thinking about these things every day, I think it keeps you young at heart because you're trying. You know, you're out there and you're working at being the best you can be, and every day is a new day of trying to figure out what that is.
Yeah. Well, the thing that the subtle, sinister, insidious aspect of what we're talking about, in my mind anyway, that, you know, the reason why it's so sinister and insidious is that it doesn't get discussed. The thing that's gaslighted in the whole conversation is, like I said, there is there is a conscious effort made by some that's not, it's not dis, it's not generally publicly disclosed or discussed, but it has been publicly disclosed. Like I said, I mean, Toffler's Future Shock is one example. But there is an effort to, it's almost, you know, you could almost call it like a military strategy of change to keep this change constant and accelerate it. And to not talk about it is like, you know, not talking about the sun or the rain or whatever, you know, to try to go about your day, like with these temperatures that we opened today's broadcast with. If you want to go outside and pretend that, you know, it's an 80 degree day and you can wear shorts, that's fine. You're free to do that, to just sort of ignore the reality of below zero temperatures. But that's probably going to create some kind of hardship in your life if you ignore that reality. And so I think, you know, kind of like what we're doing, speaking to that reality, again, Orwell, reality exists in the human mind and nowhere else. Well, Blair. You know, just to acknowledge it, I think, is helpful. Because then you don't feel like you're crazy. This is what's happening. Can we honestly say that over the last, let's say, 100 years, we've been fed this continually accelerating line that change is good? I mean, your generation heard that, I forget the expression about change, but it was something along those lines. There was something at one point that was like, you know, the only things that are certain are death, taxes, and change, I think. I don't remember.
The only thing that's constant.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And change was part of that. It became a sort of a late addition to that aphorism. So I think just to even to talk about it is helpful.
Yeah, I think so too, because it comes at you from so many different directions. And I think the good part about it is that you really need to choose what's the most important and what you want to address and work with, and then what you just need to let go of. And I mean, social media is one of them. I mean, a lot of my friends have totally gotten off of it and they seem to function just fine. I haven't seen any of their arms fall off or anything like that. It's all very interesting. You just have to be as aware of as much of it as you can and decide. And you know, that I think that's one of the things that is so important about a small town, is that, you know, I think people have a tendency to think for themselves more mm-hmm. than when you get into larger areas. It's mm-hmm. easier to just get in that lemming line. And if you need to walk off the cliff, you just walk off the cliff, because that's what everybody does. And I think, you know, that looks foolish in a small town, don't you mm-hmm. think?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, would you, you know, if your friends jumped off a bridge, would you? I don't know. Is there water below the bridge? Maybe. I mean, what yep. are we talking about here? Can we?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yes.
So, correct. Again, Orwell, Blair, 1984, the choice for mankind lies between freedom and happiness, and for the great bulk of mankind, happiness is better. It's, you know, it's comfortable to let someone else worry about that. But like you said, in a small town, it would just be a look. You know, you look at the small towns where, especially, you know, speaking of Montana, you know, the small towns where people have worked in industries where pretty much every day of their working life, they're putting their lives on the line. Every day they go to work is a day that, you know, if something goes wrong, and it's not just them, they rely on one another, everyone there, you know, if it's in a mill or it's in the woods or it's in a mine or something, they rely on each other to make sure that they all make it home safely and alive. And one mishap by someone else could kill you, or, you know, permanently injure, dismember you or whatever. And that's reality. You know, when every day that you go to work, it's that kind of a situation. And the look from those people, you know, having done things like that for 30 or 40 or 50 years, and then hearing these things that just aren't true, all it takes is a look from those people. And you know, just by the look on their face, okay, what I just said was crazy. Some of us have seen those looks. I can only speak for myself, but I think some of us can relate to the look. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org. Smash that donate button like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United
States.
With
anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say. Yeah, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? And what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Feel it's their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me. But my answer, I want to spread the news that if it feels it's good getting used, oh, you just keep on you than me. Until you use me up.
Welcome back. Final segment of the first hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. So, do you have any thoughts on that, Mitzi? The look of the teenagers of old.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. The look that speaks a thousand words without saying one.
Just a look of disgust and disbelief.
It comes from the bone marrow.
Yeah. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Those people who have worked in, you know, done work pretty much their whole lives, where every day their life is, you know, arguably in peril. Certainly more than most people these days experience if you're in an office or something like that. If you're running heavy equipment, you're in the woods, you're in a mine or whatever, most days your life at any given moment could be in imminent danger if somebody doesn't do exactly what they're supposed to do, and it might not even be yourself.
Well, and that doesn't even touch like not leaving home and not going out on the job. I mean, you remember my parents, they heated their house with a wood stove, and they had to, you know, get the wood, feed the stove every day. They had a root cellar full of canned goods. They had, pardon me, they had, you know, they had a water truck. They had extra power sources. I mean, the daily life, not even just going out into the workforce, but the daily life was survival, and for a lot of people still is. And you know, I mean, it's, you're right. It gives you a depth that can create the ability to say a volume with just one look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And speaking of the difference, you know, between a small town and a big city, generally speaking, you know, I know people, you know, people right now in small towns in Montana, for example, where over the weekend, you know, people's pipes froze. And in a larger environment, things would be entirely different. People's mindset would be different. You know, in the small town, they get on Facebook, for example, and say, hey, does anybody have a heater? Our pipes froze. And somebody says, I got one. And there's somebody running around helping people unfreeze their pipes for basically the cost of their fuel. That would never happen in a large city. It's very unlikely anyway.
Well, we definitely have a faction of that happening here, with a group of people that do just exactly that. We may be an exception, but I'm very proud of our community for
right on
helping people.
That's great. But it's a smaller microcosm, I would say. Anyway, we're at the end of the first hour. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back for the second hour coming up.
Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.